I'm a 7, but it was actually at a 7.
No, never.
No, never. How dare you say that about me?
I am lady.
There's a certain part of me that's like I am a power bottom.
Yeah, I mean, like, who doesn't love the attention?
I mean, it's a compliment at the end of the day.
Yeah. Guys, those are things that are, like, subtle. At least with dying, know they're going to kill you. So at least it's, like, very, like, up front in your face.
You want to get noticed? Take it off.
Hola, bienvenidos a Gay al Punto.
This is Gay to the Point. We're just two gay guys talking about everything or anything.
Oh, anyone.
In a not so straight fashion.
Not so straight fashion.
En una forma no, que no es tan hetero.
Sí. mi nombre es Antonio.
Me llamo Clarence.
And here we are. What's it? 2021! First day, new season, new podcast, new year.
Except for the other one will be released in 2021 as well.
Which one?
Their first season.
Yeah, but whatever.
But we're recording it right now.
We're recording it right now.
We're letting you know into the behind the scenes of how slow we are at releasing things.
This is actually coming to you from the past.
Like all podcasts.
Yeah, so how do you feel for January 1st, 2021? Do you feel like it's just any old day, or do you feel like there's a new fire burning within you that's ready to explode like a firework?
I do feel like Katy Perry lately. No, I feel like I think the thing is, or maybe I just don't think that it is any different than any other day. I feel like it's just kind of funny because usually I feel like New Year's is the time where I kind of find it to be like, I used to use that as like a marker or like a period of like time, you know what I mean? Mm. But then at the same time, like, it's funny just because of how, like, everyone says like how horrible 2020 was. It's like everyone's like, yeah, oh my God, bye to 2020, you know, 2021. And like, it's going to be better. And you're just like, how do you know that? Like,
yeah.
And like, time doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way.
You know what I mean?
And then everyone expected that to become 2020 when we did last
2019,
year.
2019, yeah. So I feel like the thing is, you guys are like, everyone is just setting yourself up for disappointment.
I know.
So I feel like I would just like try to not think about it that way. Yes, like you hope for the best. But at the same time, like, I don't know. It's not that. Actually, officially, though, like, the first case of corona didn't happen in 2019.
In Wuhan, yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's COVID-19, not COVID-20.
Well, that's why we have to congratulate COVID for our one-year birthday.
Happy birthday!
COVID 2020!
Aww, they grew up so fast.
I know. Anyways, let's see what this new year will bring us.
Hopefully, boys.
And more corona.
More death. I mean, every year brings more death.
But every year brings more life.
That's true. So get to humping.
Alcohol.
Bring, bring. Who's there?
It's alcohol.
Oh, you gave me a call.
Because it's me, alcohol.
See, I set you up. You're just like, alcohol, give me a call. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, you go.
Yeah, so alcohol, alcoholism.
Yeah.
What made you get into alcohol?
Honestly, Sean.
Really?
Well, our friend. No, actually, I do remember the first time that I ever got drunk.
Tell the story.
Do you remember the first time you got drunk?
I remember the first time I was offered a drink, but I don't know when the first time I got drunk, because I just feel like those like blurred together.
The first time I got drunk was actually like at a party like that my dance teacher was throwing.
From Dance Mode?
No. Oh. So at the time, I feel like the thing is, like, I had no experience with alcohol.
Right.
And then somebody just was like, oh, do you want a drink? And I was just like, I don't not want to drink.
Right.
So then I tried it, and then I felt, like, quite happy about it. And like the situation was, is like I wasn't really that close with any of the people who were there anyways.
Right.
So I would notice that it started to make things feel a little bit easier in that regard.
So then
I would just keep drinking more. And then I ended up having quite a few drinks. Luckily enough, I feel like at least in that situation, I was with people who are a lot older than I was.
Right.
So they were kind of like there was no one who was like going to take advantage of me. And I feel like they were all like kind of like,
or so you would think.
That's a different kind of older person that's going to take advantage of you. But I feel like the thing is, I was around a lot of people who were just kind of like chill about it.
Right.
Like, or just like understanding about the fact that it was like one of my first few drinks or something like that. So then like, I remember actually being driven home that night by like an older couple.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know, like they were just like, I was being like a drunk mess and they were just like kind of laughing it off.
Right. Right.
And that's a better situation to be than like, I feel like a lot of people's first times getting wasted.
Right. But I do know the first time I had a drink and it was like peer pressured onto me.
How old are you?
I was like, 12. This was no. Yeah. It was in elementary school.
Oh, because, actually?
Yeah. This was, I think maybe like 10, God. 11. So it was actually my birthday for some reason. So my birthday.
You're a man now. You're like 11. And you're just like.
Yeah. No, for some reason, my birthday that year, I don't know, when I was 10 or 11, like. There was no party, but my mom was just like, okay, well, just invite like a few of your closest friends of that time. And then like, here's like some money and then we'll figure it out. and then so the thing was, I don't even know what we did, but I remembered like, cool, I get to pick like three or four of my friends. And then like we went to my house and then we didn't know. I think we just ordered some food and then like it was just pretty chill. And then at that time, one of my older sisters, like she was like dating like this kind of like, for lack of a better word, drug dealer.
Ooh. But was he hot?
No.
Oh. But how old were they though?
Like I think if I was 10, 11, she was like probably like 17, 18. Ooh. And he was probably like a couple years older, probably like shit. Early 20s. But anyway, so like, it was my birthday. Had like three or four friends over.
Wait, how old were you?
10, 11. And then, so, but even scarier, for some reason, I don't know how we got to go here. So somehow my sister and this drug dealer boyfriend convinced me and my friends to like, hey, we have cars. Let's go for a ride since it's your birthday. And like, we'll go someplace nice because you're just stuck at home. So we follow them because we're like young people. We don't know any better. And somehow my parents let me go. But anyways, we ended up at like my sister's boyfriend's house at that time. And then, you know, when you're 20, all they do is just chill around and start drinking beer.
Yeah. Like pretty hardcore.
Then like,
especially if he's a drug dealer, they're probably doing other stuff.
Yeah,
maybe you weren't aware of the time.
I wasn't aware of the time. And then at the time, I mean, like he seemed nice, you know, as most drug dealers
like
are.
Chill. Like,
yeah.
Chill.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there wasn't like drugs or like, you know, the house was a house party. There was
just, you came over and he was like, do you want to try this heroin?
Yeah, no. It was just like, cool. We just went to his house, his basement suite, and there was like a couple of his friends and then with my friends and my sister. But at the same time, I remembered like, we were celebrating my birthday and it was cool. And then all of a sudden, like the boyfriend was like, oh, like here's like a drink. And I'm pretty sure it was like a Budweiser or Coors Light at that time.
Right.
And it's like, it's your birthday. You got to drink. And then like I felt peer pressured because I was in front of my friends.
Yeah.
And then it was like this like older guy who's drug dealer guy. And of course I couldn't say no. And then so I'm like, okay, I'll drink this like shitty beer or whatever. And I just remembered like feeling like part of like really cool because I was doing it in front of my friends, but also being like,
this is really messed up. I don't want to grow up this fast. I still believe in Neverland.
They were nice at the end of the day, like, but at the same time I just clearly remembered like that was like my first drink of like, okay, like I guess this was a great birthday celebration.
I feel like my elementary years were so much more wholesome than yours were.
Yeah. I did live in Surrey. So.
That's probably the difference. I grew up in Jolac.
But the actual first time I feel like I got so there's a couple stories.
Okay.
I'm an alcoholic. So one of the stories that my sister-in-law always loves to tell me is the time that I got fake drunk at Christmas.
sister-in-law?
Yeah, my brother's wife.
Okay.
So like it was I was like 16, 17 and I was trying to get like into alcohol and then like at that time I didn't know the difference between like sparkling wine and like just regular wine. And then it was Christmas and then it was a Christmas party, so like of course like my family, as wholesome as they were just like a lot of sparkling wine. And then at that time, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna like drink a whole bottle and like get drunk because like I was just rambunctious. So I got like, I finished like almost a bottle of wine. And then I remember like coming downstairs and like getting, and then I tried to pretend like
you were more drunk than you were.
Yeah.
Because I was like cooler, more adult.
Exactly. And then my sister-in-law was like, but you just drank sparkling wine. There's no alcohol in that.
Oh, like the fake one.
Yeah,
like,
the fake wine. But then somehow I was like going around like the living room, the kitchen room, being like, oh, I'm so drunk right now. And then my sister-in-law would just always laugh at me to this day, being like, oh yeah, like he thought he got drunk off of sparkling wine. Non-alcoholic
wine. I feel like that's like a part of being young.
When you're a loser.
Yeah, I was a loser.
But then, I have a question for you then. Do you feel like your drinking has ever caused a problem? Because I feel like as somebody who's drinking a lot less than you, I could say yes, but I don't feel like you would say yes.
It depends what you mean by problem. I mean, I've had a few more than my hand can tell of stories where it's like a hot mess.
Well, I feel like your hand can't tell them because it doesn't have a mouth.
But it's like a problem in what sense?
I don't know. Or just like, have you ever thought to yourself that, oh, this is too much? Or just like, oh, maybe I have a problem. Maybe I have a drinking problem. Or like, maybe I need to do dry January.
Well, not really. Well, no, actually, no. Actually, there was a time. No, yeah, there was a time. I mean, to be honest, like, yeah, in my, like, between, like, the ages of, like, 18 to, like, maybe, like, 21, 22, like, there was a few times where, yeah, alcohol has led me to a dark path where there was thoughts of suicidal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't know whether, like, I feel like this is my perspective and you could agree or disagree with it.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like the thing about alcohol, at least my experience with alcohol so far, is just that it could just make those thoughts worse. I don't think it's the cause of those thoughts, but I feel like it can prevent you from leaving those thoughts, and I feel like it can make those thoughts worse. I don't know, and like it can like convince you to delve more into those thoughts, but I don't think that like, oh, because you drink then
alcohol,
you're like
it makes
yeah.
you that
same no, as like most drugs, I feel like.
No, totally. Like I definitely agree. I mean, like during that
but
time,
it was maybe like a crutch for you in a time that was dark, and you were just like, oh well, I'm just gonna drink away like sadness, and then made you more sad.
Right. Well, I actually don't even think that like, especially in those younger times, that I would drink to drink away the sadness. I think I would just drink. And somehow the thoughts of sadness and suicidalness would just come up to more in the foreground when I'm drunk at that time. And I knew at that time that was like a problem. But yeah, anyway, so I just feel like my drunkenness has gotten me to where I am.
But you know, that is like the thing about like negative behaviors or something like that. Part of the reason what makes you not want to let it go is the fact that there is some benefits or some positivity. So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like yep. If you were to just be like, no, I'm not drinking again. Like you'd also be recognizing the fact that you'd like be saying bye to all of these like other things that you actually really appreciated within drinking. So,
right. Anyways.
So what are the good parts of drinking?
Yeah, the good parts. Well, I think like, going back to one of your ideas where you felt like your first scenario of having a drink was because it made you feel good and loosen your inhibitions about like being in a crowd of people that you don't want, or aren't comfortable with. Like that's definitely to one of my...
Social lubricant.
Yeah, social lubricant. Like that, what's it called? The truth serums or whatever. Yeah. Like... It definitely helped me, especially in my younger years as well, to like drink to have a good time and to not really care about like what is who is going around me, like the social structures or whatever. I was just kind of like let loose and like be my drunken self.
Yeah.
To let go of the inhibitions. And like I know sometimes that like can go too far. Also I feel like it definitely has helped me, and like I feel like it's okay. It's like
there's no problem with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, how do you feel for yourself?
Like, no, I actually, like, you know what made me, there's a thought that came to my mind while you were talking about that. I, like, wonder, at least, like, it's different for everyone, but I wonder if, like, you know, the aspect of being gay, having something that you're always trying to hold back, you know what I mean? Or, like, not being your authentic self, like, it actually does, like, that's what's appealing about drinking, is the fact that like you're taking something that makes you feel good about saying whatever it is the fuck you want to say, acting however it is you want to act, and like being like, you know, I fucking did that. Like, and like when you've suppressed that for so long in terms of being gay, that it becomes like this, like, that's addictive. You know what I mean? Because right. It's just like, that is the key to me being myself.
Totally. No, I definitely agree that there is like a strong correlation, especially for like suppressed gays who really haven't like kind of lived their life in their younger years.
Well, and even if it's not like alcohol, but like other drugs too.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, no, totally.
Poppers.
That's a different topic.
That like relaxes your asshole and makes your asshole who was meant to be.
Yeah. Like, a loose one.
Gaping one.
But I guess like to me, my question is like, when did that like change for you where of like being drunk isn't necessarily a need to express yourself and to be gay anymore? Just like, was it because you just came more confidence in your own skin to just be like more quote unquote gay in your regular life than needing to have alcohol to induce that?
I'm not gay in my regular life.
Well, speak for yourself.
I'm in the closet. I'm on the DL. But I would say that I feel like it's not like that's over.
Right.
I still feel like there's elements of that. I don't necessarily feel like, I'm 100% like okay with that, like with being like gay and stuff like that, and therefore I don't need to express it through drinking. Mm. It's just kind of like, I don't know. I think maybe what's more so convinced me is, well, especially lately, not like this is not like I was like that wise when I was younger.
Right.
But like I am recognizing how like I'm able to be more aware of like how like my drinking or the things that I do or my behavior when I'm drinking
affects other people.
Yeah. Negatively affects other people. Right. And I feel like that I'm a little bit more in tune with that when I am drunk. And I think that that's what's changing for me in terms of that. But, I don't know. It still feels nice, though. That's the thing. It's like, and that's, I think the thing that's hard to, like, say goodbye to that is, like, there still has been many, like that time that I was on the night bus and then I was I was super fucking wasted that day. And I was talking up this Irish guy and I convinced him to come home with me. Because I was drunk enough to hit on him and then whatever. And he was like straight. And then I was just like, I remember, I feel like I was just being so smooth. I don't like, that's the thing about being drunk. You never know if you're actually that smooth. Like,
or you're
in
just
your
like
head.
Being clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, so I like remember talking to him and it's like, oh, like, where are you? Like, what's your stop? And he's like, oh, it's like a few blocks down. And it's just like, well, do you want to get off like here with me? Because like, it's not that far. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then like,
actually,
he got off with
that's
me.
That's one of your like, greatest accomplishments in your life.
I really feel like I'm quite proud of that because like it was literally like out of nowhere talking to some random guy on a bus and then like getting him home with me. Like it wasn't even a club. Like it wasn't even like that like
specific scenario.
Yeah, like
scenario
set up for me to hook up with him. Yeah. And I remember just being able to convince him by being like, well, you know, like we've been talking now, but I have no idea what your name is. And like, you know, if you want to just have fun, like there's really no like repercussions because I don't know anything about you. And he was just like, like you could see the wheels turning in his head and his penis like just like
erecting,
stiffening.
the stiffening.
But but you know what I mean, like, and that's something that I could only do with the confidence of alcohol,
right.
I mean, maybe the thing is, I probably, like, I could potentially do, like, that's the thing about it, is like, that's still an aspect of my personality. Maybe I could work on becoming, being able to do that and being sober,
yeah,
but it's just so much easier.
Right. Yes. I mean, that's a good, like, the good things about alcohol is, like, it does loosen your inhibitions, and it does, like, silence, not really totally silences, but gets rid of that thoughts of, like,
the voice guilt in your head that tells you not to.
Yeah, the guilt and the shame, the voice of reason in your head. Yeah. It's just like, well, alcohol just washes that away.
And I mean, like, yeah, sometimes the voice of reason in your head is helpful.
Right.
But sometimes it needs to shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Okay, maybe last couple things. Like, what would you would say your most embarrassing story involving alcohol would be? That you can remember.
Oh. I don't know if I've ever been that embarrassed. Like, actually, like, the thing is, like, one thing that it was, like, kind of terrible, but I'm not, like, embarrassed about it. I'm, like, kind of proud about it because it hasn't happened that many times.
What?
It was, like, New Year's Eve. I can't remember one time. When I just came back from Christmas with my family, like, in the States. And I was just, like, I don't know if you've ever had that experience of, like, just, like, going back to, like, your home and, like, the larger family. And just, like, your mom tells you what to do all the time. And you're just, like, so fucking, like, over it.
Yeah.
You know? And then I was just, like, I just finished that vacation. Just got home New Year's Eve. Saw, like, Sheena, who was my roommate at the time, who was just, like...
Gross.
I really enjoyed her at the time. But, so I just arrived back, and I was just, like, so, like, excited to see her. So excited to see my friends and, like, people that I actually like. And I just remember the one memory that I have is, like, oh, my God, Sheena! And just giving her a hug. The rest of the night was blurry.
Oh.
So then there's like little bits and pieces of there that I remember because I know that we had a bottle of alcohol outside hidden in one of the bushes that we would go out to every now and then to drink from and then before going back into the club.
Right.
And then I remember having a conversation with Rena outside in the middle of me puking between my legs like every now and then.
Right.
And I remember being in the bathroom and somebody like pulling me out of the bathroom. I don't remember how I got there, but I woke up in a bathtub, but Nicholas's bathtub,
Japanese Nicholas.
Nicholas, the good one.
Yeah.
I remember waking up in his bathtub and being like, what the fuck? Where am I? And I was like, and then I remember trying to hit on Nicholas in the morning and then because I was still drunk. And then I remember going to dim sum that morning as well with my friends with my family. And then I remember having to take breaks from dim sum I remember before that walking to the SkyTrain station with my clothes in a plastic bag because they were covered in vomit, wearing Nicholas's clothes.
Aww.
Walking down. Yeah, because he gave them to me because it's so sweet.
Aww.
Boys who are nice.
Yeah.
And then walking to this thing and then every now and then taking a break to throw up, getting to dim sum, taking a break between dim sum to throw up and like. Even though that was, like, terrible, I'm still kind of proud.
See, this is the thing where I feel like, in terms of, like, getting better, I think you need to, like, figure out how to not throw up while drinking. Because to me, I've never
actually... Yeah, it's like breaking the seal type thing, right? I feel like once you throw up, then you throw up later that time. Like, you've already relented the fact that you're going to throw up. But if you just hold it down, like, you're going to hold it down. Because I've only thrown up maybe... twice or three times from drinking.
I mean, I guess that's like a theory. I guess so. I mean, I've barely thrown up when I was drunk. I rarely do.
But how many times?
Probably in my life, in terms of cause of drinking, maybe like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, see, mine is less than yours.
Yeah, whatever. That's not really an embarrassing story.
No, that's what I mean, though. I don't feel like... I'm trying to think.
Well, what do you think? I'll tell you my embarrassing story. Sure. Well, there's a few, but I'll tell you the one that's like,
well, the one of you being fake drunk, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, there's another one, which is actually like kind of embarrassing. So it was my grad night.
like SFU or high school?
At high school from VC, my grad night. So that common tradition was like you, your group of friends, and their and your prom dates or grad dates or whatever, because we don't have prom. Grad dates would like rent a limo, get drunk.
Did you have a grad date?
Yeah, her name was Joan.
Sorry, Joan.
So yeah, the tradition was to get your group of friends, grad dates, rent a limo from your graduation like night, like the actual ceremony. You would go to the after party, which was hosted by the students.
Okay.
And then just drink in the limo, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Right.
For some reason, I don't know why, no one else thought the same idea as me to get plastered in the limo. Like, when they arrive in the limo...
Like, no one was on the same page as you, but no, you were like, this is the plan, right?
Yeah! Like, for some reason, like, someone only either brought, like, a glass of, like, a bottle of, like, champagne, or I don't even know what champagne, it was probably, like, wine or whatever right. at that time. But, like, I brought, like, freaking, like, vodka, and, like, probably, like...
151.
And, like, I brought, like, a couple bottles with me. And then, like, for some reason, like, no one else wanted to get on board, but no one told me why, that they didn't want to drink with me. So... I just, like, sat there in the limo with everyone else, like, just drinking on my own and, like, got super drunk. And then by the time that we got to the after party, the bouncer wouldn't let me in because I was just so drunk. And then it was just so embarrassing. And then, like, weirdly enough, because since, like, the ceremony was, like, in around the same time or same area, so my parents, like, since they live in Surrey, they wanted to rent a hotel room and just, like, have a night for themselves.
Oh, okay. Like, be quite close and not have to worry about going back and forth.
Yeah, but then they wanted a night for themselves. It was for them.
Right.
But then, like, somehow my friend knew that my parents were around, and then so they called my parents through my phone. I was still, like, obliterately drunk and, like, was just like, I need to go inside the after party, blah, blah, blah. And so my friend called my parents. My parents picked me up. I was, like, so blackout drunk. I, like, apparently, I don't even remember. I remember just, like, waking up in the hotel bed. But apparently, like, I was, like, puking on myself, and that, like, my parents had to, like, take off my clothes and, like, she ran me a shower and stuff like that, and, like, put me into, like, the bed. And, like, I felt so bad because I ruined their night and, like, also felt embarrassed because
maybe,
like,
it was, like, nostalgic for them being like, oh, like, watch the baby, like,
maybe, but
our,
like,
18 year old baby.
But it was just like, I just remembered the next day, like, waking up being like, where am I, like, how did I get into this room? And then my parents were there, and then I remember being like, oh, well, just put on your clothes and we'll just head home. But I was like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. And then my mom's like, oh, you don't want to go in there. Because apparently my, like, vomit-stained clothes was, like, in the bathtub. Like, the rags. Like, it was just, like, a disaster in the bathroom because they were trying to, like, clean me up. And, like, they just left everything. And, yeah, that was my grad night.
I feel like good on your parents, though, for just being so chill about it.
I know. They were really, like, it's funny.
But maybe they shouldn't have been that chill about it. And maybe your life would have gone in a different trajectory.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually quite surprised at the end of it that they, like, didn't reprimand me, like, as much as I thought it would be. Like,
right.
Yeah, they, like, told me, like, oh, don't drink
but
again.
But why do you
blah,
think
blah,
that
blah.
You got, like, that drunk, though?
Well, I think, A, maybe because subconsciously it's like, it was the last year of my high school, but I knew I wasn't straight, but I was gay, and, like, I was stuck there with a date that was a girl, but also...
Let's just go with that story. I don't think that's why, but let's just go with that story. You were a troubled gay teen, and that's why you got blackout wasted. I think there was other reasons, but...
Yeah, well, let's stick with that.
Sorry, Joan.
But yeah, I just want to say thank you for always trying to listen to us, even though we don't try at all. So
I do feel like I do try.
Really?
Right.
But yeah, we're saying goodbye to 2020, and along with our fears and sadness, and
I'm not saying goodbye to those things. You know how I feel about it. Or you know the doubts that I have about the quality of our own podcast.
Wow,
but...
you're so rude. I feel like the quality is really good. Anyways. nothing is said or set
or
sent
in stone.
Ooh, how come I still got the bad words?
Because I'm a genius.